Well, good morning to everyone. I use the word good morning and no one responds. Aloha. I'm in the wrong state. It's been stated in the world of entertainment that you should never follow animal acts or children. It is my privilege to follow our young people. It is a privilege. Because that is what the kingdom is made of. It really is. There is a hymn in our hymnal, and that is one of our favorites. My favorites. Could be yours, I don't know. We all have favorites. We may be able to hum them right now, but if you did that, it'd probably be a little confusing, cacophony. We don't want to do that. My favorite hymn asks and answers the question of the universe. I'm not talking about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, that after a million years, the computer comes up with Mr. Tuck's age, 42. Okay, that's a mythical age, Mr. Tuck. I'm sorry. I'm just a few months older than you. But it asks and answers a question. It's a hymn from David in the Psalms. It asks a wonderful, telling question. Our hymnal reads, you could turn in your hymnals to page number 10. O eternal, who shall dwell in the temple of your grace? Who shall on thy holy hill have a fixed abiding place? What a beautiful question. And even more so, what a beautiful answer. Let's read it from the book. Let's turn over to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. I know it's going to be difficult because it is dark out there. I have light, so I'll read it from here. From the New King James Version. Psalm 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? We heard about the tabernacle from Mr. Garnett. This is the same word. Who may dwell in your holy hill? Verse 2. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. Speaks the truth in his heart. It goes on to say, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. I mean, sometimes we make a promise and we follow through because it's inconvenient, but we made a promise. He who does not put out money for usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. There's a whole lifestyle listed here in Psalm 15. But who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. The word abide here can mean sojourn. Means we're all on a journey. There's many, oftentimes I will tell people, we're all on the same journey. We're just at different places along the path. It could also mean an inhabitant, one who inhabits. Who may inhabit your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may be resident in your tabernacle? And the same word is used in Exodus for the tabernacle of the congregation. And the word tabernacle there is the precursor for the temple, which eventually was built. David asks and answers that question of who may be part of the tabernacle of God, literally be resident in the kingdom of God. He who walks uprightly, meaning morally, with integrity and truth from the inside out. Because there's an individual inside, character. There's truth here. The word of God is truth. So one to enter into God's kingdom will be following the word of God, because the word of God is truth. And he who works righteousness and he who speaks truth in his heart is pure in his heart. Now, I keep emphasizing that because there's an exciting point here. When we put the pieces together, the clarity of God's word becomes very visible to us, and it's exciting. I want to add another part of this puzzle. Let's go over to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. And if you can't read, please make notes. Isaiah 32, verse 16, because this puts it all together. This puts it together. Isaiah 32, verse 16. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. This next scripture is very important. The work of righteousness will be peace. The work of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. The work of righteousness, the product, the output, what you're producing of righteousness is peace. Is peace. The output of those wanting and willing to be righteous before God is peace. The effect of righteousness, that peace, is quiet assurance, non-contention in your world. Your habitations will be peaceful and quiet. In verse 18 it says, My people will live in peaceful habitations, secure and safe. There's a number of us here who went to Israel in 2009 during the Days of Unleavened Bread. We called it the Education and Fitness Tour because it was rather rugged. We were always on the go. Before we left, a number of us asked God, if it's not safe, we're going to the Mideast. There is always contention there. There's always upheaval there. There's always violence there. We asked God, if it's not safe for us to go, if you don't want us to go, close the door. But if you do allow us to go, let there be peace. We were there, I forget, 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. And in that time, there was not one act of violence reported while we were in country. We felt secure. We were in the Holy Land, and God allowed us to enjoy the Holy Land in peace, including being on the border of Israel, Syria, and Lebanon, where there is no peace treaty. They're just not shooting each other. And one of the signs there said, if you can read this sign, you're in sniper range. That got my attention. I got a photograph of it. But we were in peace because God gave us peace. He gave us peace. Those who would enter into God's kingdom, into God's realm, must be about peace. If there is a title for this, it is Peace and the Prince of Peace. We must be about peace. We must be focused on peace. We must be a peace bringer. We must be willing and able to show the way to peace, because this world doesn't know how to discover peace. As the church, the body of Christ, we represent peace. We represent the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, put that in your notes. Jesus Christ is known as the Prince of Peace. Hebrews 7:2, the King of Peace. How often the word peace is used as an identifier, as part of the character and makeup of our sovereign. We represent the kingdom of God on earth today, you and I do. And the keynote word evidenced in Scripture used to describe God's coming kingdom is peace. No surprise there. Peace is the outcome of the works of righteousness. Peace will be the hallmark, the identifying sign of those who are called by God. We will be the peacemaker. We will be those who bring peace. We will be those who show the way to peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. That's his title. That is also his character. That is who he is. That is what he is about. He is about peace. Now, today the world doesn't know peace. I won't take time to enumerate all the acts of violence that have taken place since we have arrived. If you've been watching the news, you know that there are some horrific events taking place. People have died. People are hurt, maimed, just while we're here. Violence is going on around the globe. Some because they lack control, others because it's their religion, others because it's the authority of their country. Violence continues around the world. The world does not know the way to peace. It shouldn't be a surprise, not to any of us here. It doesn't. Now, they think they do. If only they would do things my way. My way. I know how to bring about peace. If you just do it my way, I've got it covered. My way. My way. Everyone believes that they know the way to peace. Democrats, Republicans, they all know the way to peace. their way. Liberals, conservatives, they all know the way to peace. Everyone has the answer if it's their way. Pick a side and you're wrong. Seriously, pick a side and you're wrong. When conflicts arise, it's usually based on pride. Scripture says that. Ego, self, want, and you have a conflict. But when I look at conflicts and how to solve them, I have an answer. If you have a coin in your pocket, you can take a look at it sometime. Don't bring it out right now. But it's you think, well, if I flip it, it's a two-sided coin. You have these in football games. You flip a coin, heads, you get the ball, tails, you receive the ball, that type of thing, right? There are three sides to that coin. Three sides to that coin. It's my three-sided coin example. If you want peace, if you want to do right, not just be right, because people want to be right, but you really want to do right, flip the coin. There's your side and there's my side. There's his side, there's her side. There's one side, there's the other side. But there's always that edge. There's always that edge. There's that other side. How often we have a controversy thinking that there's one side or the other, but it's that edge. And what that edge represents is God's side. I have an opinion, you have an opinion, but what does God say? We don't flip a coin, I'm right, you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. It's what does God say? It's my three-sided coin. Well, let's take a look at the truth about man's attempt to bring about peace on this planet. We're in Isaiah, so let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. First one there, start reading. Okay, Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God hears and sees our dilemma, our struggle, our trials, our pain, our agony. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice. Just watch the news. No one calls for justice. They call for their way. They call for their way. Nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Verse 8, the way of peace they have not known. We could stop right there. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. Why not? They have made for themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. And the world has built crooked paths constantly. They do not know the way of peace. There is no justice, there is no peace. The world has made and taken crooked paths, and they're not going to find peace. What does the world know of peace? As nations, as communities, as individuals, many in society try to establish peace. Society looks for ways of bringing peace to the world. Ways the world's view of peace is based on crooked paths. Let's take a look at just the United States. You know, the United States has tried. It's a Christian nation. It's founded on Christian principles. We tried. In 1873, we had the Colt 45, and I'm not talking about the brewski. But the Colt 45 was a five-shot revolver. You know what it was called? It was called the Peacemaker. It was called the Peacemaker. It was known as the gun that won the West. It was the frontier gun. It was called the Equalizer. One of the quotes from that time said, God made all men the same. Colt made them equal. So we had the Colt 45. It was known as the Peacemaker. In 1948, just after World War II, Convair Aircraft Corporation built the B-36. The B-36, B standing for bomber. We had gone from World War II into the Cold War, because obviously now that the war is over, we're at peace. The B-36 is a six-engine bomber with the ironic title of peacemaker. And it was designed to carry the most powerful weapon on Earth with accuracy. In the 1980s, we had ICBMs, specifically one called LGM-118. I mean, that's not an illustrious title, but it was known as the Peacemaker, an intercontinental ballistic missile carrying up to 10 nuclear bombs, was known as the Peacemaker, capable of reaching into the heart of Europe and the Soviet Union thousands and thousands of miles away. In the 1990s came the advent of the Trident II submarine. This is an underwater launched mobile missile system, untrackable, stealthy, no prevention to its force, just retaliation. And man is at peace. Nah, I don't think so. The world believes that power and might and the threat of violence will bring about peace. Well, that can be categorized as crazy. Oh, wait. Society has categorized it. It's called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction. I have a big stick, you have a big stick. We're at peace. I don't think we're here to celebrate that kind of peace. I don't think so. Einstein defined crazy as doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. Well, that's what we do. We build crooked paths to peace. We build bigger weapons and we're at peace. No, we're not. As leader of the world after World War II, the U.S. could not bring about peace. We were the biggest power, the greatest power on earth. We couldn't bring about peace. The United Nations was established. And since that establishment, there have been more than 200 declared wars around the world, since World War II. 200 declared wars. The world is not at peace. Watching world news, we realize with a deepening reality that man's way of peace is a crooked path. It's a slippery path, a path destined to destroy us. That we, the planet, all mankind, cannot rely on man's power for a long-lasting, permanent peace. Peace along a crooked road by man is just not possible. Well, it's interesting to note, the world looks for a physical power for peace, and the world is not peace. And yet, to have a lasting peace, there has to be power. There has to be power. And thankfully, the world tomorrow will be guided by that great power, the Prince of Peace, the one true peacemaker, the one holding all the power of the universe and bringing a peace that escapes the grasp of the world. That's why we're here. We're celebrating that kind of peace, a true peace, a lasting peace, a peace that will last forever. And if that one peacemaker is Jesus the Christ. And what we're learning here at the feast is that Jesus Christ will return and he will bring with him his peace, that real peace, that true peace. So I want to ask a question right now. Is there peace on this planet today? Think about it. It's not a trick question. Is there peace on this planet right now? Well, the answer is yes. Does that surprise you? It shouldn't. The peace that escapes the world is right here at this feast site and every other feast site around the world where we're celebrating the peace of God, the kingdom of God that's coming. The peace of God is here in you, in me, given to us by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. There is peace. We represent that peace. Let's turn over to John 14. John 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 14, verse 25. Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples. He's giving them encouragement for the trouble that's coming up, that they're going to face. He's going to be taken from them. He's going to be killed. He's going to be scourged. He's going to sacrifice himself. It's going to be a horrid time. And he's encouraging his disciples. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I give you my peace, not the world's peace. The world's peace is based on a crooked path. He says, I'm going to give you my peace, and it's going to come through the Holy Spirit. You're here now with the Holy Spirit. You have the peace of Christ in you. There is peace on this earth. We are to represent Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We're to show that peace within us. We're to show that peace within us. This is peace from God, not peace from man. Man cannot give us peace. Man's way simply doesn't work. We're given peace from God, real peace, true peace, a lasting peace. But it's an extraordinary peace. Let's turn over to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians. Wow. I'm speeding through my notes. It was interesting during the previous messages, I kept modifying, cutting, modifying, taking out, modifying. I may have cut down too soon, too much. Not to your discredit. I mean, you might enjoy the extra time. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to rejoice before God. We're to have fun. We're to share with our family, our friends, our children. We're to have fun and rejoice before God because we represent peace. The peace that's coming. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're given a peace of mind that surpasses human understanding. At work, at times, there's discussions on the trials and troubles of work around the world. And I don't show anxiousness because I know the end of the story. I know the end of the story. I've read the book. Everything turns out okay. My favorite phrase is, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. Because everything will be all right in the end. People I work with don't see that. They don't know that. They don't feel that. They don't have that inner peace that God has given to us. As the world is in trouble, God has given us an inner peace, a peace that just they don't understand. It's a peace that guards us on the inside. It helps us through trials and troubles from living in a society bent on destruction. It helps us through trials and troubles that we go through physically and personally. Because we still know there is a peace that's coming. That what we see is not all there is. There is more to the world around us. We heard yesterday in the festival video that we are to engage the mind of Jesus Christ. We're to have him in us. Well, he is the Prince of Peace. His focus is on peace. The question has to come up, well, how are we doing? How are we doing? Everything we are learning at the feast tells us that we are called today to represent Jesus Christ, to represent the kingdom of God on earth, to represent the peace of tomorrow, the peace of Christ that he has given to us. It's important to understand that now, today, everything we say, everything we do must reflect that of the peace bringer because we are representatives of Jesus Christ. When they see us, they should see Christ because we are the living examples of the kingdom of God on earth. There is peace on this earth. Like the song said, let there be peace on earth, let it begin with me. Well, you've been given God's Spirit. You've been given the peace of Christ. It's now with you. The peace that is coming is already here in us. It's already here in us. We set the example. Yesterday, day before, you have to forgive my gray matter. It doesn't really work all that well. I went and bought my ticket for parking just out here. And the fellow turned to me and he said, $4. And I said, no, $5. That's what we're contracted for. And he thanked me. He said, thank you for being honest. That little view, he saw the peace of the kingdom that's coming. He saw it in a small little piece like that. We're to set the example all the time. When people see our example, they should see the way of peace. When they see our children, they should see the way of peace. When our children see our example, they should see the way of peace. Our spouse should see the way of peace. Our employers should see the way of peace. Everything about us should shout, peace. We should show that God's way works regardless of the problems and trials and frustrations and failings. I mean, that's real peace. That's a real peace. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." And how important is that? Another question we could ask is peace just the absence of war? Is peace just the absence of war? Is it just the absence of violence? No. Because you can have no violence in your home, but if there's tension, if there's anxiety, if there's anxiousness, it's an attitude. Peace is an environment. It's an attitude that we bring. We should be peaceful in our dwellings. We should be peaceful at work. We should be at peace wherever we are. We're to teach our children, those precious future sons and daughters of God, the way of peace. We're to show them. We're to be the examples to them. We're to be their guide. We're to be patient parents, showing that God's way works and that there is a peace through God's Spirit. Peace should be the hallmark of our families. Peace should reside in our residences. It should be an identifying mark, both at home, at work, wherever we are. There should be peace. It's a theme. It's a theme. Well, I want to hit a quick note or two. 1 Corinthians 14. Mark that in your notes. 1 Corinthians 14:33. We look at the world around us and we understand that the world is confused, is in upheaval. For God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. In your life, he is the author of peace. In your life, he is the author of peace in your home. In your life, he is the author of peace in your workplace. He is the author of peace in everything you say and do. There's a theme, because the kingdom of God is all about peace. All about peace that this world does not know. He knows what he's talking about. He's the author. It's the hallmark of who we are. It's the hallmark of a saint. It's the hallmark of the church to be at peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Here we have a series of exhortations taking place. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." It's important. Rejoice always, especially while we're here. Especially while we're here, we should rejoice. "Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks." That's certainly an important mandate that God has given to us. We're to be thankful for everything. I remember I gave a story one time I gave a sermon on being thankful. And there was a story about being thankful for fleas. Being thankful for fleas. I can try and remember it. Corrie Van Bloom was a prisoner in a concentration camp. And the keepers of the concentration camp were being very brutal to the inmates, especially females. But because of the fleas that were in this one hovel, they left them alone, because there was just too many fleas. And Corrie Van Bloom was thankful for fleas. I mean, she had bites all over her, but they were left alone because of the fleas. We can be thankful for the most egregious things, because we don't know why God allows some things to take place. But we're to be thankful. To give thanks in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of peace set you aside and sanctify you for his special purpose, and he completes you and be preserved blameless before the coming of Jesus Christ. Wonderful ways of showing peace through these exhortations. And that he is the God of peace. He's not the God of confusion. He's the author of peace. Ephesians 6, please. Back a couple. Ephesians 6. Talking about the armor of God. An important aspect of the armor that we wear as we face the trials and difficulties of Satan all around us. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Sometimes it's difficult to face the trials and difficulties. Sometimes we get knocked down. Sometimes we get knocked about. But we need to stand during those times. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's why we're here, to learn the word of truth, to dig into God's word. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we know that the fruit of righteousness, the output, is peace. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the message of Jesus Christ. There is a peace coming. It is the gospel message, the good news that there is a peace coming. This world doesn't understand that. This world doesn't see that. And that's exciting news, that the gospel is about peace. It's all about peace. And it's interesting that it's on our feet, because as it says in the Psalms, you're a light unto my path. You show me where I walk. Every morning I walk to and fro to the bus. I take a bus, I take public transportation. And I go over a bridge, over an overpass to the bus stop. It's 1.1 miles, and yes, I walk in the rain. I do. But without the light being there, I could stumble because it's an uneven surface. I look forward to cars coming and have them illuminate the sidewalk to see what's in my path. God's word is a light unto our path. God's truth is a light unto our path. The gospel of peace is a light to our path. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of that wicked one. That is so important. We put on the armor of God that includes the gospel of peace, the good news, the message of Jesus Christ, peace. And everyone in this room is one of the peacemakers, the peace bringers, because you represent that Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. And you are now an example of the kingdom of God and the peace that resides there. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. This doesn't come easy. God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us the peace that passes all understanding. He's given us his peace. We now have peace within us, and we are to develop that peace. But it's not easy. Verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Two things are evident in this one scripture. We are to pursue, we are to chase, we are to track down, we are to hang on to, we are to make tracks to peace. It is our effort to Find this peace that God has given to us. Pursue it with all people, not just the people you like, but those that, for want of a better term, make it an opportunity to grow. We're to pursue peace with everyone, without exception. When you read through the words here, the background of these words, it meant all people, without exception. We're to pursue peace with everyone and holiness. We're to pursue peace and holiness without which you will not see God. If we are not pursuing peace, if we are not pursuing holiness, if we are not changing our lives to be a peacemaker, peace bringer, a follower of Christ, the Prince of Peace, we could miss out on the kingdom of God. That's what it's saying. If it were easy, we would not have this instruction. We're to pursue it. It could elude us. We can miss it. We can mistake it. We can make a crooked path thinking we're on the way to peace. That's why we keep our nose in this book. That's why we keep our nose in this book. We're midway through the festival experience. How are you doing on being a peaceful example? You want to step on toes here? Don't want to. But just for your own thoughts, are you patient with others? Are you patient with inconvenience and disappointment? I mean, not everything has gone perfectly at this feast. Are you being a peacemaker, whether dealing with one another, with your spouse, with your children, with traffic, with restaurants, with hotel personnel? I've used this example before. You probably know the story that's coming up. We were going to Sacramento. My wife and I were going to Sacramento for the feast. It was one of those years where I had a few extra dollars, and I thought, it would be such a treat. I'm going to get the presidential suite. I got a few extra dollars. Why not? It's a Hilton property. Hey, it'd be great. We'll have a lot of people over. It'd be one of those times where we could be hosting. Okay, well, they're building the building. They promised us they'd be done. Oh, they'll be done. And I kept calling. 2 weeks before our arrival, I called. Yep, no problem. We got you down. Everything will be okay. So you might arrive at your hotel, and it might be a little inconvenience, and the room is not made up. Our room wasn't built. And all the planning and all the thoughts and all the sharing just disappeared. Now, they did accommodate us a bit, but oh, how disappointing it was. And thankfully, I didn't let my countenance fall. It wasn't the clerk's fault. It wasn't the manager's fault. They just got away from timing. You may show up and they don't have the room cleaned. They didn't have ours built. It happens. How are you being a peacemaker with the inconveniences of the world around you, of the difficulties that are taking place? You know, this idea of peace is not man's thought. Man's thought is a crooked path. Man's thought is, my way, your way, is the only way to peace. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. This wisdom comes from above. It comes from God. It comes through His Holy Spirit. Let's turn to James 3. James 3, we're so close, mine as well. James 3, in talking about peace. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. That is so important. When you go back to Matthew 5, which we will, it starts out by saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And if you pursue peace, you'll see God. This wisdom of God is pure and then peaceful, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. One of the fruits of the God Spirit is peace. We can go through them, love, joy, peace. One of the fruits of God's Spirit is peace. All too soon, we're going to leave the Feast of Tabernacles, go back home, and one of the points of so many that we must take with us is that we are to show the peace of Christ We are to show that we represent the kingdom of God that is coming. We are to show the peace that is coming. The world has a crooked path. And the world doesn't know how to find peace. But we've been given the peace that Christ has given to us. And in order to show the world the way of peace, we have to demonstrate it. We have to be the example in what we say and what we do. We're to be the peacemaker, the peace bringer. And all that we say and all that we do and all that we think and all that we are. And by doing so, you know what we do? We glorify our great God. We glorify our great God for the calling that He's given to us. We are that light on a hill. As the world around us gets darker and darker because there is no justice, there is no righteousness in the world around you, you're going to stand out more and more. You're going to be that light that gets brighter and brighter because everything around you is darker and darker. And everyone's going to know your example. They're going to see your example. And you're going to be an example of peace, the peace of Jesus Christ that's coming. That's an awesome opportunity. That is just an awesome opportunity. Philippians 1, verse 27. Philippians 1 and verse 27. Not Philemon, Fred. Mr. Tuck, I'd like to have this light taken to San Jose. I see my notes. I just great. Can we take the light with us? Yes. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conduct, let your citizenship, let what you do, let what you say be worthy of the gospel of peace, the message of Christ. That's what it's all about. We're supposed to be worthy of the gospel, the good news of the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace. Psalm 37:37. I kind of picked this one up in the back here. Thought it fit very well. Psalm 37:37. The world around us will note your example. We're to note our own examples as well. We're to follow the examples of those who follow Christ. So Paul said, "Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." We live in a world that's filled with struggles and trials and difficulties. The end of it, though, will be peace. Observe the blameless man and observe the upright. See the example of that individual. Observe those who are righteous. For the future of that man is peace. There is a way of peace. There is the gospel of peace. We are to preach peace. There is the Lord of peace, the King of peace. God is the author of peace. God is the God of peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of peace. The works of righteousness is peace. We are to teach and preach the peace, gospel of peace. We're to be examples to our family, our friends, our bosses, to everyone about peace. I mean, there is a theme here at the Feast of Tabernacles. The coming kingdom of God is going to be based on peace. Peace is an identifier. Peace is the theme of the gospel. Peace is the theme of the kingdom. All of us here have God's peace in us through His Holy Spirit. We throw aside pride and ego and arrogance for love, care, and mercy. That's what we do because we are examples of peace. One final scripture, Romans 12. Romans 12, X, Romans 12. Read through this. there are those who say, well, I can't do anything, I can't change anything. I am who I am. But we're here to learn. We're here to be different. When we leave here, we should be different than when we arrived. We should have more knowledge. We should have more understanding. We should have more fervor. We should have more joy. We should have more rejoicing. We should be different. And hopefully it lasts for another year. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling, embrace, hold on to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Oh, good night. Rejoicing in hope. We're here to rejoice because there's a hope tomorrow. The world doesn't have peace today. The world is filled with violence today, but there is a hope tomorrow. The gospel of the kingdom is based on peace of tomorrow. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This is who we are. This is who we're developing to be. Bless those who persecute you and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I mean, each one of these could be a message unto itself. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 18, I said all that because that's the precursor. That's who we're becoming. We're learning to do all those things. Verse 18, if it is possible, and I'm telling you it is, as much as depends on you, and it does, live peaceably with all men. Now there's a mandate for the rest of the feast. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. As much as within our power, and it is. It is always within our power to demonstrate the peace of God. It is always in our power to choose the peace of God. It's always in our power to make that choice, to make that step away from ego, pride, and arrogance, and say love, care, and mercy. Is always within our power to show all around us the peace of God that this world so desperately needs and is coming. That's what this feast is all about. We have the peace of God in us. We have the message of peace. We must share that. We must show the hope of tomorrow in our families, in our employment, in our life. Going out to a restaurant today, facing traffic as well. I know some of you in mid-feast change apartments because some are you have a condo for part of the time and you have to switch. Inconvenience. Maybe you had a great spot and now you don't have such a great spot. You're here at the feast. Rejoice. Throughout the next year, keep in mind, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who represent the essence of the coming kingdom. For they will be called the children of God. Have a great rest of the feast.